Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
My brother Chamia, come on up. I'm excited at what God is going to say.
Hey, man, I'm fired up. I couldn't wait to get here today. Hey, man, I got to hurry up and get to it. Anybody who knows me, they know I got a lot to say. Because I get in God's presence, you know, I'll tell you this, and I don't want to do too much side talking, but, you know, if I was asking God for something for myself, it could be quiet for a long time. But as soon as I ask God for a word for people, man, God begins to just, woo. It's endless. It really is. Like, God always has something to say. And so I sit in his presence and I just be quiet. And I just meditate on the scripture, and God begins to speak to me through the word, you know? So, man, I just encourage you sometimes, like our brother Elder Barker was saying, sometimes you just got to be still. When you're young, and when you're a babe in Christ, you want to talk all the time. But as you mature, you realize, man, I need to listen twice as much as I talk. But tonight, God told me to talk, amen? So I'm going to talk, praise the Lord. So, let me get on in here. First thing I want to do is I want to acknowledge my Heavenly Father. I'm just thankful to be a man of God, a child of God. Thankful that he saved me. I never ever forget about the fact that I'm so grateful that God, he did it for me. Man, you know what I'm saying? I thought I was good, but he did it for me. You know what I'm saying? So I hope you know that he did it for you too. Then I want to acknowledge my beautiful wife. I love you, baby. Man, God has blessed me. 13 years of beautiful marriage, you know what I'm saying? Amen. And it keeps getting better. Hallelujah. When you do it God's way, man, it always works out. Amen. So I'm thankful to have a beautiful friend in my life. And she's truly my best friend, so I'm thankful for that. And then I want to thank my brother Marquise, Pastor Marquise. He's not my friend. He's my brother. I don't even call him my friend no more. We've been together so long. When I didn't have any friends in Christ, I humbled myself and came to Marquise. And I said, man, I need some friends. And he said, hey, man, well, what do you do? I was like, I sing. He said, what, you sing? Man, I do music, man. Let's go. And, man, we've been like that ever since, man. So, man, I love you, Marquise. And I'm proud of you. Even though you're younger than me, I still look up to you because as long as I've known you, you were a child of God, then a man of God. And I've watched you mature, and I see the things that you do in the lives of other people, and God is so proud of you. Then I want to thank Annis and Mr. Franklin and all the other, you know, pastors and elders and ministers. But I just thank you guys for your faithfulness and dedication to God, all that you poured into my wife and I, not even necessarily with words, but just the way you live life, the way you raised your children. All of that stuff is embedded in us. So we're always thinking about, you know, you got to have some inner circle of people in the faith, some mentors, some people that discipled you and taught you things that you didn't know. Because if you don't, you'll be out here trying to do stuff on your own. And that's a scary place to be. So, Father God, I just want to pray right now. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be before these beautiful people. Father God, I pray that you would give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are open to receiving. I thank you, Father God, that tonight is not about me, but it's all about you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. Use me. Allow me to preach this word with passion, purpose, and power, that you may be edified and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. If you could, everybody, just give yourself a round of applause. Everybody just clap. Come on, clap for yourself. And the reason why I want you to clap for yourself is because you showed up. Man, the first step to doing anything great in life, the first step to transformation in life is showing up. That's the hardest part. And so you made it tonight. And because you made it tonight, you gave yourself an opportunity to receive a blessing. Amen. So open up your hearts and get prepared, because I know that God has a word just for you. And I can tell you that tonight I'm here only to speak to one person. You might say, man, well, there's a lot of people in the room. Why you only want to speak to one? Well, I didn't say which one. I'm here for anybody and everyone. Right? So you're one, you're one, you're one, you're one. The thing that matters is, are you the one that will listen and receive? Only you determine that part. So I want us to understand that we both have a part in this. I'm not here to just talk to you. I'm here to give, and you're there to receive. It's a give and take, right? When I started preparing for this message, those of you who have preached the word before, I was going a whole different direction. Have you ever started a message, and I mean, you almost had that thing completed, and God just was like, and turned you a whole other way? And you was like, all right, God, I'm going to go that way. So that's what happened to me. First thing I want to do is I want to explain to us something that is imperative and paramount for us to understand about surrender. In Matthew chapter 26, and you don't have to go there. I just want to kind of paraphrase this chapter for you because it's important. When I thought about surrender, I thought about Jesus Christ and all that he did, all that he gave up, all that he sacrificed, all that he took for me and you. And so I just want to make sure I give you something to hold on to as we go through this message. I want to show you what the pinnacle of surrender was. So in Matthew chapter 26, I'll start it from when the disciples were eating the Passover. And so they were sitting at the table, and Judas dipped his hand in the bowl with Jesus, and Jesus had told them that he was getting ready to be persecuted, and he said, the one that dipped his hand in the bowl with me, that was the one that was pretty much going to give me up. And so then Judas said, basically, you don't mean me, do you? And Jesus was like, you're the one that said it, right? So they get done with the Passover, and Jesus, he wants to go pray, right? Because he was feeling sorrowful. He knew the time was drawing near. And so he went to go pray, and he took some of the disciples with him. And so the first time he went to go pray, he told them to keep watch. And he went to pray, and he said, Father God, is there any way that this cup can be taken from me? And so the first thing I want you to understand, it's not like Jesus was like, hip, hip, hooray, I want to go all the way. He wasn't fired up about it. He was sorrowful, the Bible said. And so he prayed that prayer, but at the end of it, he said, but yet, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So even though I'm sorrowful, even though I'm not excited about doing it, I'm still going to do it. And so then he went to see the disciples, and they were sleeping, and he was like, oh, man. You guys can't watch even an hour. And so he went to go pray a second time, right? Any of you ever been going through a storm in your life and you prayed one time and that just didn't do it? You had to go get back in that prayer closet? Because it's something about the peace that surpasses all understanding. And sometimes you got to tarry in that thing for a while before you get it. Sometimes your actions, all the time, your actions need to supersede your feelings. Too many times we let our feelings dictate our actions. So he went back the second time and he prayed the same prayer. He said, Father God, is there any way that this cup can be taken from me? But yet, Father, not my will, your will be done. He went back to the disciples. They were nodding off again. He went to go pray the third time. He prayed the exact same prayer. But not my will, your will be done. So he went back to the disciples and he told them that they needed to be alert. And then all of a sudden, the deceiver, because Satan was using Judas, brought the high priest, had a band of, you know, like soldiers. They came with swords and clubs and they came to get Jesus as if Jesus had all these weapons on them. And so Judas, the one that dipped his hand in the bowl, ran up on Jesus and gave him a kiss. And what did Jesus say? Do what you come to do, friend. Call them friends still. The only way he could do that is because he knew what he had forethought. He knew what had to be done, right? And so the soldiers come. And they got their swords and everything, and they come to hem Jesus up. And Peter, now I don't tell you this in Matthew, but Peter pulls out his sword, and he slices off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest, because he's like, "You're not taking my Jesus." Now, mind you, right before that, Jesus told Peter before they even got there, "You was going to deny me three times before the rooster crow." And Peter was like, "No, I'll die for you." And that's when Jesus told him, "Okay, we're going to see. A lot of people tell you they're going to be there for you until the rubber hits the road." And so Jesus is like, "Man, what are you doing?" He's like, "Put your sword down." He said, "Those who draw the sword will die by the sword," right? And so he allows them to take him. But here's the thing that I want you to really get out of this. In verse 53 and 54, Jesus says what I feel like is most paramount about surrender. First of all, he says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal 12 legions of angels?" So the first thing I want you to understand about this is that Jesus could have easily called on his Father to squelch all the noise that was going on right then and there. He could have just ended it, right? I want you to understand what 12 legions of angels is, because we read things sometimes in the Bible and we don't really know the depth of what that means. So first of all, in that time, what a legion represented was in the Roman army, that represented a minimum of 6,000 soldiers, right? So Jesus goes on to say, he says, couldn't I have more than 12 legions of angels? So if we just take it for face value and look at 6,000, you times that by 12, that's 72,000 angels that he could have called to come and handle business. Now, if we go look in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36, God had the angel of the Lord come and fight for his people, and one angel killed 185,000 people in one night. So if Jesus could have called a minimum of 72,000 angels, what would the outcome be? No problem at all, right? But here's what you need to hold on to. This is what I want you to remember as I give you the rest of the message. And this is one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture that I ever read, because I understood that he did this for me. So Jesus, like I told you, he said, couldn't I have called on 12 legions of angels? But check this out. He said, but how then would the scripture be fulfilled that says it must happen this way? See, Jesus was saying, if I do what I want to do, there'll be no salvation for you. I'm going to say that one more time. You know what I'm saying? I think Jesus got bars, because he was saying, if I do what I want to do, that means no salvation for you. Like, if you really receive what that means. Now, there is one that there's no hope for him. Our brother talked about Satan has no way to be redeemed. But God is so good that even though he knew he had to go through hell and back, he still withheld the powers that he had so that he could redeem you back to himself. Somebody give God a hand clap. Amen. Because he's a good God. Now, for the past year and a half, 2 years, God has been speaking a word to me too, like my brother. He will not let me get rid of this word, application. He keeps saying to me, son, people today need to understand how to apply the word. You know, people today, especially this younger generation, they're thinking like, man, how can this 2,500 plus year old book still be relevant in my life today? I mean, they were walking everywhere. We got cars. Ain't no cars in the Bible. You know, people say stupid stuff like that. so they can justify their sin, right? But Hebrews 4:12 says, man, this is the greatest book ever. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So I want to tell you about this good book and some of the things that it does for us. First of all, this book is alive, right? I don't know any other book that can talk about the past, the present, and the future. But the Bible does. Let me tell you some things God told me about the Bible. He said it still speaks the absolute truth. Amen. It still speaks of past, present, and future. It still judges and gives correction. It still speaks to your direct situation and need. It still provides hope and faith. It still brings healing and deliverance. It still gives joy. It still gives peace. It still makes broken people whole. And it still saves lives. Amen. I think that's a good book. The book is full of action. It's full of love. It's full of redemption. I think it's something that you need to read if you're not reading it, right? I think you need to find out for yourself. Because if you read the Old Testament, you'd be like, woo, God wasn't playing. He was not playing. You better be thankful you on the New Testament side. Amen. Because people was messing up then, and it was lights out. Wasn't no coming back. Praise the Lord.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So as I get into the meat of my message, it's called When Losers Win. When Losers Win. Matthew 16:25, you know, when I looked at the theme scripture for this conference, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Man, I said, man, I need to sit on that thing for a while. I need to just sit in his presence and allow God to really talk to me. Because sometimes I think we just read things for face value and we don't really get to the depth of what this thing is talking about. And so God told me, son, I need you to show them application. I need you to translate that for the people today so that they can really understand what that means. First of all, the scripture is absolutely without a doubt meant for every person in this room. So first thing you got to understand is the word is for you, right? Number two, only you have the power to choose to acknowledge, accept, and receive it. I told you there's a portion that you got to do. The Bible says believe in what? Come on, the Bible says believe in what? The receive part is up to you. He's telling you I want to give. But are you going to receive it? Now, the word whoever, it says for whoever wants to save, the word whoever means anybody or anyone. Pastor Franklin was talking about this. I want you to understand who falls under that umbrella of anybody and anyone. Everybody. Amen. That means all of you. The word wants, okay, because it says for whoever wants, the word wants means to desire, to desire. The word save, because it says for whoever wants to save, the word save here means to rescue, to keep, or to be kept, okay? And then we have the word lose. The word lose, because it says for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. So the word lose here means to surrender. Yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. In other words, it means to throw up and wave the white flag. Now, I don't know any of you who are boxing fans or ever seen a good fight on TV, but have you ever seen somebody get whooped on so bad that their corner get the white towel and woo, throw that thing in, no mas, no more, right? That's it. So now what I want to do is I want to translate that scripture for you with the words that I just gave you of what those words mean. So if I was to revise that for you, it would say anybody who desires to rescue their life will surrender it. But anybody who surrenders their life for me will find it. I want you to understand that you have to give something up to get something better. Man, I don't know if you heard me. You got to give something up to get something better. If you're living an unhealthy life, it's some stuff you got to give up to live the healthy life, right? When most people want another car, they trade in the old car. If you got a closet full of old clothes and you ready to step into some new clothes, you got to get the old clothes, right? In the Bible, it says, don't put new wine in old wineskins. You need the new wineskin, right? So first thing we got to understand is we got to give something up to get something better. By a show of hands, has anybody in here ever lost something before? Anybody? You lost something? Man, it's funny because the only reason that something is considered lost is when you need to find it. Have you ever thought about when you lost your keys? You might have lost them the night before. They was already lost. You just didn't know it until you needed them the next day. Now, there's some of you here today that are lost and you don't know it. It's because you don't know the one that's looking for you. You haven't met him yet. So right now you're feeling lost. But somebody's looking for you. Most of the time when you lose something, it's by accident. But the kind of lose that's being described in this scripture is a lose that can only happen intentionally. It has to happen on purpose. You don't accidentally fall in love with Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. The greatest power that God gave to us is called free will. We get to choose. And God will not break your will, because then we would not be made in his image and his likeness. We'd be robots. And God didn't make us that way. See, you can't lose something on your own because you still know where it is. Right? When you put something where you want it to be, it's not lost. But sometimes whatever you put away, it needs to be lost. You must give it to someone else and let them hide it so that you won't truly know where it is. See, some people, they putting away their weed stash. You need to give that up to the master. Because if you know where it is, as soon as that urge come back, I'm going back to that stash. I know where it is. It's not lost yet. See, we got some stinking thinking and some old ways that we use religion to cover up. But when the rubber hits the road, them old things come back out. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we talking about surrender tonight. When I come to Jesus Christ, I got to lay down everything. And all of us have some different things that we had to lay down. Your outside appearance might look beautiful, but inside, you're all broke up. Surrender. Anybody ever played a game hide and go seek as a kid? Man, I played that game. We had a lot of fun playing that. But you know, this game is a dual purpose game. There's two things that's trying to be accomplished in this game. On the one hand, you have people who are hiding, and their goal is to remain hidden. But on the other hand, you have someone who's seeking, and their goal is to find those that are hiding. Tonight, I want someone in this room to know that you're not lost. You just been hiding. But I want you to understand that there's a heavenly Father who's trying to seek you out. And all you got to do is come out of that hiding place, and all of that brokenness and all of those lost feelings and all of that anxiety and all of those depression will go away if you allow Jesus Christ to find you. Amen. Amen. Surrender means to cease resistance to an enemy, an opponent, or an authority by submission. Now, there's two types of submission. There's force or there's free will. Now, the problem is some people will surrender the truth simply by hearing the truth. But there are those who are a little bit thick-headed, and they won't surrender until they feel the pain of the press. And when I'm talking about the pain of the press, I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about the weight of life. Anybody been going through life and just felt like it beat on you sometimes? As soon as you feel like you're trying to make a step in the right direction, what does the enemy do? Boom, 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 beat on you. Because what is he trying to do? If I get your focus off of where you're trying to go and make you focus back on that situation, now God can't take you where he wants you to go. I was speaking to my church 2 weeks ago, and I told them, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so a lot of us, the reason why we can't get to God, the reason why we can't come out of that hiding place is because our minds are too busy. We're focused on too many things when we need to get focused on the one thing, which is Jesus Christ. Getting ready to finish up this last little bit of the message. I want to call it fiction versus reality. On the fiction side, there's many people who find it hard to surrender to Jesus Christ because they only have a head knowledge of him. This type of person, to this type of person, Jesus Christ is no more real than Batman and Superman, right? It's just a story in a book. But for that reality person, when what you know in your head transfers to your heart, then it becomes real. Only then does it become real, and then it becomes conviction. When conviction happens, you declare there's no more turning back. It's nowhere to go. Why? Because I'm so lost in God now. I've been surrendered for so long, I can't find my way back no more. What was the story? Was it Hansel and Gretel when they left the breadcrumbs so they could find their way back? See, I don't got no more crumbs. He picked them all up. Every step I took toward him, he took one towards me, and he was picking up all of the garbage along the way. So when I looked back, I couldn't see no way back no more. There's a difference between acknowledging the name of Christ and making him the Lord of your life. Somebody tonight needs to understand what we mean when we surrender. It doesn't just mean saying hallelujah. That don't save you. It doesn't just mean how you doing, blessed and highly favored. That doesn't save you. You go to church, no, but my grandma's a Christian. That don't save you. So what does it mean? It means that you got to get to know him for yourself. The Bible says that if you, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross and that he rose on the third day for the forgiveness of your sins, then you shall be saved. So there's a confession with your mouth But you also got to believe in your heart. I don't think the believe in your heart happens until he becomes the Lord of your life. Right? Everybody can say something with your mouth. There's people that tell you, man, I love you, man. When it all went down, they wasn't there. What love got to do with it? Amen? Amen. It is up to you to activate mentorship in your life. So when we want to talk about application, I'm trying to give you the tools right now to understand how to walk this thing out. First thing you got to understand is you can't do it by yourself. So whatever church you have, whatever people you know of, like the Marquises and the Elder Barkers and the Pastor Franklin's, people like myself, even the members in the church who are sold out to Christ and he's their Lord, you don't have to be in the pulpit to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there's a lot more people in the pews than there is up here in the pulpit. So we need them people going to work. This is just a place where you get filled up to go out and do the work. But you need to link up arm in arm with somebody who can walk with you. When you do that, now discipleship begins to happen. When discipleship begins to happen, now sanctification begins to take place. As sanctification begins to take place, now them old crumbs start to get taken away and you don't know them things no more. That weed, man, something that don't suit me no more. That Friday that you was looking for the weekend so you could get that alcohol, I just don't have a taste for that no more. Amen. That fornication and that sex you was having outside of marriage, it's like, man, I just don't want to be out here like that. I'm not representing God right. Something happened on the inside that allowed you to walk differently on the outside. Amen? Amen. As humans, we can only invest in others what they invest in themselves. Remember that. Don't try to give your all to somebody that won't give their all to themselves. But the difference between us and God is this. God made the greatest investment that he can make on your behalf before you did anything. How good is that? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to keep giving my time to people that don't make good use of my time. But we serve a God that's still waiting on you, even though you're wasting time. But I want to leave you with this question tonight. When are you going to recognize that your time is running now? Tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day of salvation. Choose Jesus Christ today. Make it a point to surrender and apply the principles that I gave you tonight. Link up with somebody that can walk with you hand by hand. And as we walk together, God will take care of the rest. Amen. I heard a pastor say, do your best. Don't settle for less. And let God do the rest. I said, do your best. Don't settle for less and let God do the rest. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.